Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Goes Without Saying. Thankfully, we are back for another episode of Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Wing. This is Seffi.
Hello.
Oh, that was nice.
Quite tuneful.
Melodic. This episode is all about ego, aesthetic, and personal branding. So get your little iced coffee out, get your little sunset lamp, get your beautiful little dress that you saw on TikTok. It's going to be a stunning episode. We talk about all of our learned narratives, the things that we tell ourselves that we can and can't do, and if there's a way out of them. We talk about style. We talk about how we can accurately represent ourselves in a world that is obsessed with trends.
This is sounding good, by the way. I'm thinking I would listen to this.
Ooh, I mean, that's my intention.
Trying to sell it to people.
I don't intend to scare you off, I must say. Well, here you go. Just listen to it. See what you think.
This is our second go round. Just recorded something and we thought, that sounds like they've never recorded a podcast before and we're starting again.
Yeah, my exact words were, it kind of sounds like our third episode, like.
And I said, that is the worst thing. Imagine it's literally kind of
your life's work.
We've been doing this for years now, day in, day out.
Are you new to this?
This sounds like probably...
Is that your first go?
This is your third episode. The rudest thing. So we just thought, get rid of it. We're talking about Flushed Away.
Yeah, I just didn't love it from me. I'm a bit chaotic and we need to get back to balance, I think. So for context, I've moved and I also lost my voice. So I'm just coming with a whole new vibe. Don't know who I am. Mm. Quite on topic, I guess.
Wing has moved to a stunning apartment in Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the most stunning rug I've ever seen and the most stunning sofa I've ever seen.
Thank you.
You might have seen them on Instagram.
Oh, I hope they have. Doesn't matter if not. Yeah, I would agree. I think it's stunning too. Thank you.
I love the rug for you. I love the sofa.
What about you? You've been on a boat? Fill us in.
I've been on a boat. We've just had this convo. I've been living on a boat for 2 days. And Wing said, was it a summer fling? And I said, no, I was with my dad and my brother and my granny and her husband.
Just so no. Because you were saying, you know, I was just, yeah, on a boat, like a couple nights. And I said, if I'm listening to a podcast and they say they've been on a boat in the middle of August for a couple of nights, I'm thinking, summer fling, yeah, it's a romp.
Some salty sea dog. Sexy sailor.
Exactly,
no.
Yeah.
No, couldn't be further.
But it's ahoy, ahoy granny.
Well, my granny came to visit for one day and the people staying were me, my dad and my brother, and we did have a whale of a time. But I'm back in my life now, back in London.
How are you feeling to be back in London?
I do think it's weird because I was very much identified with, I think I'm buying a boat.
I'm a boat girl.
I'm buying a boat. I don't give a fuck. I'm sailing the seven seas.
I'm the lonely island. I'm on a boat.
Get the sea shanties out. I'm going to buy a fucking boat.
Yeah.
And now I'm back in London. I'm like, what a weird 2 days that was where I thought I was going to buy a boat.
Yeah. Well, it's still up for grabs.
Well, I also don't really want to live on a boat, but I just very much enjoyed that way of life of just doing some yoga on the deck of a boat in the sun. It couldn't be better. Ugh. And then going literally 10 meters and you're on the beach and then swimming in the sea. Couldn't be better.
So beautiful. The exact life I wish for you.
This exact life I wish for me, but the universe apparently has other plans.
Just ride it out, it's fine.
So back to London you go, back on the tube, back in the stinking tube.
Stunning in its own way.
So stuns, yeah.
Can you talk to us about what this episode is gonna be
about? Well, I was hoping you would have done that in the intro, because I believe...
Oh, I thought it was your turn.
We record the intro at the end, but no, I think it's your turn doing the intro.
It's me.
I think so.
Is it?
We alternate. Don't know if you've noticed that.
Oh, fucking hell.
Keen listeners will notice that we hate the intros. What we're talking about, personal aesthetics, branding, and kind of identity with some expression of yourself, like in an external way. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. You could say anything, it would be right. It's whatever you wish for. We asked on the story, and this question kind of was, I don't know how this really came to me, I guess just in a breakdown, probably.
Mm.
A lot of people say to us, like, oh my God, you're so self-aware and blah, blah, blah. And I think we think we're really self-aware, Seffy and Wing, self-aware, right?
Yeah, I did until you asked me this question,
yeah.
Which you then posed on the story, and I thought, oof. People are getting triggered tonight.
Well, I've been thinking this for weeks. It's been a while now, yeah? Like, we've been talking about this for a while, right?
Yeah.
So it just kind of hit me. I've always thought, yeah, I'm self-aware, I'm self-aware, I'm self-aware. And then I would often even, I would push it a little bit and say, I'm probably too self-aware for my own good.
Mm.
But I never pushed through that little glass ceiling and got to what I think is the first crux of the episode and the crux of the point. And the question is... Such a gross sentence. And the question is...
It's like, are we on Weakest Link? We're on a game show.
The real question is, are you self-aware? Or are you just self-conscious? Boom. End of episode.
Let's all take a second.
Turn the microphone off.
Are you really self-aware?
Are you self-aware?
Or are you just self-conscious?
Self-conscious. Because, look, I'll hold my hands up. I'll be the first to say,
oh,
actually, self-awareness does not claim me. I am self-conscious.
Well, I know for sure I'm self-conscious, so... Can one exist without the other? I don't know. Are they are they mutually exclusive? I think if I am codependent, sorry, that slipped out. Some would tell me I am. Hasn't been the first to say that. That was my spirit guide coming through.
If I am a worthless piece of shit who fucking hates her life and hates herself, if I can barely make it out of the house on most days, oh, that slipped out.
Oh, sorry. Don't know where that came from.
Who said that?
That's really worrying. If I'm codependent, oh God, oh God. On who, I may ask?
Oh, fuck.
Spirit guides, please tell me.
My face is on fire.
If Oof. I am self-conscious, then can I be self-aware?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so, because for me as a third party to observe you, mm-hmm. I think if you were actually self-aware, then you wouldn't be self-conscious, because there's nothing to be self-conscious about here, looking at you. Do you know what I mean? It's all good.
But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you I'm self-conscious, so...
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
So you can't be... Like, it depends what we mean by self-aware. If by self-aware you mean like... Oh, I'm reasonably well read on the internet and I keep up with discourse and I like know I can admit when I'm being an asshole and I apologize and blah blah blah, then maybe. But to be self-aware in the sense of aware of what version of you are you aware of, do you know what I mean? The version of you that other people see, is that the one that we're considering accurate?
Can you be aware of your self-consciousness?
I'm aware of mine. Are you aware of yours?
So, but does that make you self-aware? To be self-aware of your own self-consciousness.
Oh, Jesus. It's a bit A-level, isn't it?
Well, can you be?
Well, by A-level, I mean like philosophy and ethics.
Oh, I thought you were calling me dumb.
No, yeah, I was just going to say not in a mean way. I didn't mean it like that, sorry.
But fucking GCSE, that point. Sorry.
It's actually like, that's actually a really awful point.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's probably the worst thing I've ever heard.
I'll come with better stuff next week.
No, I meant like, it's kind of A-level philosophy being like, it's kind of Descartes. It's kind of like, I think therefore I am self-aware, the end. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I guess we can be self-aware of our self-consciousness, but also when you're in a tangible sense, when you're in your self-conscious moments, you're probably not being very self-aware of them because you're just in the downward spiral of like believing the anxiety.
Totally.
Or like believing that inner voice that's an asshole. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the one that pops out and calls you codependent out of nowhere.
Codependent. Honestly, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Uncalled for.
Like, Jesus, that was brewing somewhere deep.
So what do you think?
As in, am I self-conscious or am I self-aware? Because I genuinely think I would answer with like a bit of both, therefore you can be both.
Yeah.
Because I think I it's agree. Like, yeah, you can be incredibly self-conscious and you can also be incredibly self-aware in that it's like you can understand. For example, I think like going to therapy is a process of like becoming aware of yourself in a different way, or like becoming aware of your issues or what you've got to work with. It's like you can go and be like, okay, so I have depression, or okay, so I have anxiety. I'm increasing my awareness of all of these things, but that doesn't necessarily get rid of your self-consciousness, because then you're going to be more conscious of your anxiety and your depression and all of these things that you've learned about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I completely think one of the biggest like flaws in like whoever the fuck made humans, was it evolution, was it God, still up for grabs.
Yeah, some one of you put your hands up.
Which one was it?
It was fucking one of you.
One of yous. Yeah, nice. Nice. That's a really good joke.
Thank you. If we stopped each other in every episode to say that's a really good joke, the episodes would be 3 hours long.
I think the podcast would be all the better for it. A kinder space, a kinder world.
Mm-hmm, nice.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Whoever made the biggest flaw.
Whoever created humans, it's the biggest fucking flaw, because it's like you created a species that is so in their own head and so filled with like neuroses that they actually like hinder their own development.
Maybe that was the point.
That was the point.
No, I mean, maybe that was God's point.
To create something so fucked.
To create people that like could never be bigger than God.
By the way, neither of us believe in God, I think.
Thank you for not speaking for me.
Can't speak for Wayne. Well, I'm kind of thinking, I think I don't believe in God. Yeah. I don't believe in the traditional sense of God, but I might believe in some kind of thing.
Well, I think it's an interesting question, right?
It is. What do you think? Do you think you are self-aware or self-conscious?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a bit of both. But I do think in moments, or just a big part of it, I'd never really considered. I think I just identified with being someone who navel gazes a lot and is quote unquote self-aware, and just like spends a lot of time reflecting on like, okay, well, I have this behavioral pattern. I wonder what that's from. And like, oh, that's not great of me. Like, maybe I could work on that and blah, blah, blah. Part of that is self-awareness. But I also think if a part of that is actually just you being like overly self-critical, then you should think about your self-consciousness.
Yeah, self-detrimental.
Exactly, yeah. It's also kind of just self-absorbed. It's like, no one fucking cares. Like, you don't have to spend 8 hours of the day. I don't know. Is it bettering yourself? If you're spending like X amount of time bettering yourself, are you actually just becoming a fucking narcissist?
Worse.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because it's now there's a difference between being self-aware in an age without the internet, but now because that it feeds into like personal brands and like aesthetics, self-awareness has kind of taken on this new meaning that it's like, it's not actually self-aware, it's like an over-awareness of how you present externally. And actually it's not even about who you are, and it's about how you can make everyone else interpret your physical form into understanding some level of who you are internally, which is the most fucked thing. It's not self-awareness what we have now. Oh, I have an awareness of how everyone else perceives me. No, you don't. You have an awareness of how you've manipulated everyone else to perceive you. You think.
Yeah, completely that. Sorry. Ooh. No, I feel bad. It's gonna be bad for you to edit. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I just feel bad for you.
Never. Also, Jack's hoovering, but
I can't hear that.
Yeah, Jack, come on. Oh, stop. He's like, can't we bother to hoover?
That's a man doing 2 minutes work. I hoovered today. I've been hoovering all day.
Oh fuck, what was I gonna say? Yes, I also think, so this is kind of, I guess, the crux of the episode as well, is kind of, it's true, the internet has kind of changed things in the way that before you just had to worry about like, okay, what does this jacket say about me? I can show some of my interests through my t-shirt.
Yeah.
Versus now it's like, have I let everyone know that I've listened to that song yet? Have I let everyone know that that's a really big deal to me? Have I let everyone know that like this movie is now my whole life? Like,
yeah.
Informing everyone
of your every passing thought.
Yeah, or only the ones that you think you want to be identified by. And also, it's kind of, I said in a previous episode, and I can't remember which, doesn't matter, probably wasn't very good, and it's not a great point, but it is kind of the similar thing of like, you can walk into a shop right now and see the most stunning thing and think it represents you perfectly and blah 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 and leave it there. You don't have to claim it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with a brand or an aesthetic or music or whatever, an interest. The same with fucking humans. You don't have to claim someone as, oh, I've got them and it's my thing, or like, that's my best friend, that's my thing. Like, you don't have to claim things in this world. It's still here tomorrow. You can let it go. Like, these things pass in and come in and out, and It's completely fluid. You don't have to hold on to the attachment of something for the sake of your ego.
That's the thing. I think ego is the crucial word here, because it's not about anything that's based in reality. It's about how you want other people to perceive you. Two people could love, do you know what? Actually, I was thinking about this morning. In terms of, I was just listening to music dancing around, and usually my go-to things would be like, I would say like a kind of Motown-y vibe, which I think I'm identified with, because I've loved that music for so long, and that's like the music I would go for, like a 60s music vibe. But I was listening to one of my old time favorite bands, the White Stripes. Used to love them, but no one would know I loved the White Stripes. So random, but I used to listen to them when I was in year 9. Loved them so much, and I was thinking, two people I could love the White Stripes the same amount that someone else loves the White Stripes, but I've
probably me
to be honest never spoken about them,
that we would never know.
Yeah,
I would never speak
about them, because why would I? Because I don't particularly care to share that, and for some reason it probably doesn't align with my aesthetic. A White Stripes, I'm not gonna wear that White Stripes band tee,
no,
because it doesn't align with what I present. But it's like, yeah, we could probably love them the same amount, but we would have never spoken about them versus the amount that we would have spoken about The Handmaid's Tale together, because we both really identify with June Osborne or Fred, blessed be the fruit.
May the Lord open.
Let Nick please come back to her, please, please, please.
Oh my God, I need it more than anything.
I need it.
What a lot of people were saying about how much does someone's aesthetic, or like what they share of their identity, how much of that is just aligning with whatever's trending at the moment? Because I reckon back in year 9, both you and I would have been much more likely to shout about certain things that we loved then than we do now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Kind of in 10 years time, if we'd just found The Handmaid, or like in 10 years time, if we were watching Handmaid's, I don't know, we might not connect with it in the same way.
Well, it might feel old as fuck. Like,
yeah.
I never connected with that book when, I mean, my friend read that back in like when we were doing English Lit, like GCSE.
Yeah.
And I remember I had no thoughts on it. I never read it, but we didn't really talk about it. And now we both watch the show and obviously are obsessed with it because it was made by HBO and it's got an amazing soundtrack and all of it. It's like, yeah, okay, it's easy now to identify with something.
It's a whole aesthetic.
Yeah, it's because it's got, yeah, a stunning, stunning look.
It comes with a whole brand.
It's fucking Elizabeth Moss. It's like, I'm so fucking behind this.
Which I do think is fascinating, Elizabeth Moss. I want to get to the bottom of this so bad.
What, you want to get to the bottom of Elizabeth Moss?
The Scientology thing.
Just Scientology in general.
Yeah, just Scientology. Just Scientology in general. Me, one tiny person, I want to get to the bottom of this massive thing.
Yeah.
Think I can do it?
But I completely agree. No, I completely agree. She is fascinating. She is such an incredible actress that I'm going to mention the film again, Us, our favourite film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's great in that.
Just the best thing ever. She's a small character in Us, but she has my favourite moment of the whole film.
Yeah.
Just one moment where she's looking in the mirror and someone's getting killed outside and she's like pretending to scream. She's screaming. And it like just turns to a laugh through the scream. And it's like just one moment in that film is my favorite bit, just because she's so talented.
Yeah,
but yeah, she's fascinating. And just like the casting of someone that's a Scientologist in Handmaid's Tale, where Scientology is a religion that has like famously exploited women and, to be honest, murdered women. Where's his fucking wife? I watched a documentary about it.
I don't understand.
It's insane. The casting of that is so odd.
I literally just don't understand.
I love her.
Well, just her existence in general. I almost just feel like this can't be true.
Like, I know, it's shocking.
I can't believe what I'm seeing. Like, no, like, I don't know. I'm not gonna judge. Someone actually said, in response to like, the question was like, is kind of curating a personal brand and aesthetic and identity publicly a waste of time? And they said, no, but I think being inflexible with what things that you associate with, that is self-limiting. And I just feel like, God, if you don't have a podcast,
you should
consider it.
Yeah.
That's a great point, right? Being inflexible with what you associate with, that's self-limiting. It's like, yes, you're right. You say that again. Being inflexible. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. Being, one more time.
Inflexible. Because that's the kind of pack lightly thing. Take what you need. Everything is fluid. Take what you need and just let it be. Let it go. Nothing to prove.
I once met a girl when I was camping with my family, and I must have been like 7 or something. And there was a girl there that she was like probably 7 as well. Met her by, her granddad was fishing by a pond.
It's a love story.
She was like to me, every day I wear a different trend of clothes. Like today I'm wearing like girly clothes, like pink and like she's wearing a skirt and stuff. And then she's like, tomorrow when you see me, I'm going to be wearing a tracksuit. And the next day you see me, I'm going to be wearing all black. And the next day you see me, I'm going to be wearing fucking, I don't know, some other style.
What a 7-year-old's wear.
That a kid would wear.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that's quite cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's quite a cool thing to do. Like, every day, I'm not...
When I was 7 and I went camping, I said to this girl, today I'm wearing girly things, but just you wait.
And the next day, yeah, you're going to see me in this. Because I think that was my first introduction to, like, trends or, like, style in that way. That I think I just wore fucking t-shirt, shorts every day. Just random shit that my mum had given me every day.
Mm.
And that was kind of an introduction to like, oh, okay, like there are different styles of clothes. Like, yeah, if you wear all black,
choices,
what does that say about you rather than you wearing a tracksuit? Like, what am I inferring from you from that?
Mm-hmm.
But then I do think there's like something quite that has a flexibility to it, but it's also like you're still attached to like the sort of social conditioning we've had around like someone that would wear girly things. And it's like, okay, well, you carry yourself differently on that day than the day you're wearing a tracksuit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, you could be flexible with it. You're like, oh, okay, I'm not actually attached to a particular one of these, but you're still like fitting within molds rather than I'm gonna fit in this, I'm gonna fit in this. Like, what do I like? Like, what I'm just gonna have some whatever's that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And then going from there.
So what did you do? How did that change the way that you thought about like expressing yourself? Like, did you then start wearing different things? Did you like different things? Like,
no, I think I forgot about her completely until like now.
Oh right. Just remembered her.
I literally haven't thought about her in like 15 years. How long ago was I 7? I don't know. If you build your idea of yourself from looking at like external things, so like external mm-hmm. trends, so do you remember when like peplum,
oh my god, things, yeah, boy do
peplum
I
things, or like, oh, it's trendy to like wear like culottes, or like it's trendy to like Ariana Grande day right now.
Oh, I miss culottes. Can we bring back the culottes, people?
Yeah, where are culottes when you need them?
I'm talking about the 2016 Topshop pleated black culottes with some little Stan Smiths and a little choker. I need that back.
Yeah, just so comfortable.
Well, just the culottes.
But the most comfortable thing. But it's like building your personal mm-hmm. internal identity and therefore your like personal aesthetic, your brand, whatever, from what is like hot right now, whatever is going on the magazines, whatever's going on online, but to be honest, what's going on Instagram, let's be real, rather than building from like your external presentation from an internal place, I think is always fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, sure, take influences, but I do think it's like when you're forming your like not even style, but like you're forming your own personal opinions based on the general consensus,
yeah,
you're heading down like quite a nasty path at that point.
Did you have anything in your life that you had that you now looking back you're like, fuck, like that wasn't really me, I don't know who I got that from, but
oh my god, yeah, oh my god, there's so much that I was just influenced by, like just the immediate circles of like my friends at school and things like that, but I also think like the sphere of the internet that you find yourself like occupying as like a fucking 16-year-old is influencing you way more than you thought. Like, I remember I had like blue hair when I was like 16, and I had like pink hair and purple hair and all of that, but I loved doing that. Like, I thought, oh my god, this is so exactly what I want to do, and actually I did have a whale of a time doing that. But it's also because I was following kind of girls that were doing that as well. Like, that was definitely a trend at that time to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I don't feel like it wasn't me to have blue hair, to have pink hair, whatever, but it also, you can't deny the influence of, if my friends were following those influencers, they would probably have also felt like that was an expression of themselves to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you? Do you think like there's something that you've looked back on and been like, was that me?
Well, everything. But then I also think, I also hate the pressure on people to feel like they have to know who me is, and not just me, I think for themselves.
And also that should be unique.
Yeah, I just, so many people said that actually. So many people wrote in saying about how like personal branding and aesthetic and all of this shit is just such a pressure to be an individual, and what can that really mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I also kind of think people should be free to imitate others
entirely,
on and on and on, yeah, until
especially in your youth as well. It's like, oh my god, you have to try on some things for size before you find you.
Well, I kind of, what's the alternative? I find it baffling. I just can't relate to like anybody feeling like they really knew definitively who they were from the start, because I've got no fucking clue now, and like I'm getting on, like, do you know, like I'm not in my youthest of youth, I mean I am, but like I'm not like 16 anymore.
Yeah,
I think even when I was 16 I didn't realize how much I didn't know about who I was then. Now I feel like I really don't know if what I connect with, if anything.
I get that.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We were touching on this in the last episode, but like, I definitely think that I've lost a certain amount of my like authenticity with age. Like, the more social conditioning has been put on me throughout my life, and also like becoming a woman and becoming sort of a sexy being in the patriarchy's eyes of just like, you've got boobs, fucking perform, bitch. All of that shit that has changed me in a way that I can't undo. I'm trying to get back, trying to like excavate this version of myself to get back to like who I was as the core person. But I do also think there was a time when I did feel very true, like very pure, and like, okay, no, the things I like, yeah, sure, they've been influenced by the fucking Tracy Beaker that I've been watching and all the Jacqueline Wilson books that I've been reading, but it's also like, this is a very pure form of a person that has then been given a load of fucking bullshit, and now it's like, right, okay, who are you? And it's like, okay, well, now I don't know, but I think there was a time when I did know.
But is that pure, or do we just think that like childhood and children are pure?
That youth is pure.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
I guarantee when you were watching Tracy Beaker and reading Jacqueline Wilson, you were still like performing in your own way. Like,
totally.
I definitely remember as a child, just the whole thing was a performance of like being a kid. And then also, I feel like when I was like 5, I was probably performing what it is to be 9.
That's true.
And then when I was 9, I was like, I need to perform what it is to be like 14. Like,
yeah, that's very true.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think it is like, I don't think I was necessarily purely me, because I had no concept of who the fuck that was. And I definitely was living without the certain pressures of like patriarchy and capitalism, but I was definitely also still not free. Like, I was still under different pressures. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think kids are free and I guess they are pure and like innocent and they're lovely, but like,
they're great. Blessed be the fruit.
I don't think they're free and like liberated and pure. I just think they have their own struggles of the perceiving so much in one go. Like, it's so confusing.
It's not this idea of like purity and that it's like you haven't been influenced by anything, and that it's like you're born as the tabula rasa, the blank slate, and then it's like, yeah, okay, the world corrupts you. I do believe that to a certain extent, but also, yeah, of course, you have your own shit, and there is definitely a level of performance that's put on kids in that it's like, you're 6, but it's like, is that your boyfriend,
but you're performing Tracy Beaker.
Yeah, totally.
You're acting like Tracy Beaker at school.
You're telling everyone to bog off.
Yeah. So, but I also think, I was gonna say, in the way that part of you is trying to get back to that purity, which I also completely agree with, I also think part of you, a big part of you, will be coming into your own in a new way.
Entirely. Well, that's what I think what I mean by trying to get back to it. It's not that I'm trying to
regress,
spend my days playing Tamagotchi and watching Tracy Beaker and being like, I love Crash from Tracy Beaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm trying to undo myself back to that, but it's like I'm trying to access a level of confidence and like self-assuredness and like it's essentially a lack of awareness of capitalism and the patriarchy and just the systems that fucking literally get us down.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a lack of awareness, a lack of influence over how I perceive myself. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, continue that forward with the lens of an adult woman. Because I think that's actually what I mean by a purity. It's not even that a child is pure in their beliefs, yeah, or any of these things. I've met some fucking evil children.
You're just at peace with yourself as a child in a different way.
It's just getting back to a place where systems aren't the things that fucking stop you from being yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so how what is your relationship to like personal branding right now? How does that feed into like ego and shit and like all of that, like identity, like mess?
Oh, I was gonna ask you that. I was gonna say, like, well, do you,
sorry, oh, you're just a bit too late.
I'm annoyed because I wanted you to go first. Can you maybe go first?
Little bit too late.
I was just you just picked me to the post. This podcast is kind of slightly a game between us. Maybe it's your turn. Just throw the ball quickly. Imagine having a podcast where neither of you want to speak. What's my relationship right now?
Okay, should I ask you a different question? How do you think the pandemic and being in isolation, mm-hmm, also leaning into that, then being like on your phone and online a lot more and in a different way, and then also leaning into that, having more eyes or ears on you online in a new way than you did before, how has all of that over the past like year changed your relationship to like identity, personal branding, ego, aesthetic, all of that shit? How, what's that journey been like?
My god, it's been huge. That is literally the whole fucking thing. Like, I do think the pandemic, with everything being stripped away from you, you're back to your like rawest form of you in your fucking childhood bedroom potentially, and it's like, right, okay, who are you when no one's watching? It's like, oh, it turns out it's pajamas. And then re-entering back into society is like this new opportunity to be like, right, okay, so who am I? Like, what do I wear? What do I look like? What do I fucking smell like? What makeup do I wear? All of this shit. What do I believe? What do I want to do? Like, almost the emphasis on, we have like a certain level of space. Goes without saying, we're not Kylie Jenner. We've said it before, but there's a certain number of ears on us now that there weren't pre-pandemic, and that you might think would like increase the almost the self-consciousness or self-awareness or like the level of critique, yeah, you have on like your external performance, which it certainly has.
goes without saying.
But however, I have met people in my life that have just the average fucking 200 followers, just like your normal level of followers, and it's just like your mates, and it's just your personal Instagram, it's just like your friend Instagram. I've met people that are more obsessed with how they present without a quote-unquote audience, or like the audience being just like people they know at school.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think it's not just a trick that people fall into when you get a little bit of attention or whatever. Like, I do think you're trained to have that attention when the room is fucking essentially empty. It's you're monitoring yourself more than people are monitoring you, or like you're consuming influencers the whole time. You're consuming influencers, fucking movie stars, you're consuming celebrities and all of this stuff, and you just replicate that even if you're working at the supermarket. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just trained to present this, and I've met people that are more obsessed with how they present that I'm sure fucking Molly May is.
Do you think though, then, having, first of all, I think two things, having the space that you have is very much a space that talks about like, well, you are an authority here and you're treated like you're an authority here. So that, yikes, in a sense will make you feel a little bit more confident or a little bit more like,
run for the hills, guys. These people don't know what they're doing.
Just a little bit more, maybe then that pushes you to present yourself accurately because you feel like that is your space to do so. But then also having that different relationship with social media that you have now than you did before, is it that people who don't have a following are just like so preoccupied with how they come across and blah, blah, blah? Or is it also in part that because social media now means something different to you, you're forced to confront those things because that is not sustainable? It's not sustainable if you're going to be spending more time on social media, or if you're going to be having a different relationship with social media than you had before, you now have to change that relationship in order to sustain it. Whereas if you didn't have the audience, there's nothing forcing you to like not be nervous when you post on Instagram, whereas now you cannot be nervous when you post on Instagram because it will just fall apart.
Yeah, And that's, I think, the entire... Oh, my God, I just heard seagulls through your thing.
Sorry if that's going on and on. Sorry.
No, never apologise. That's absolutely stunning.
The gulls.
But I think that is the whole thing that we've been speaking about in the last, now, three episodes of the recovery plan, the quote-unquote recovery plan.
Mine's out the window.
Is it?
Only because I'm so distracted with... Well, I've got a sofa to distract me, so it's great.
Totally. And a rug.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if a rug is turning up on your doorstep, it's like, oh, I don't... Who needs a recovery plan when I'm already feeling okay?
Skip the recovery plan for the day.
But give me a couple days.
Exactly. Well, mine's still going strong.
Good.
Actually, I did abandon on the boat. I agree. Who needs it when you're feeling great?
That's the thing. It's kind of having an activity or just a life shift of perspective is giving you the recovery plan anyway.
Because it's your nothing to recover from. You woke up thriving.
Yeah.
Although I do think that's exactly when to continue it, because then it's like you need those times for when it starts to slip again. And that's the whole point of, well, one of the elements of the recovery plan was like relaxing into speaking freely on a podcast. It's like, okay, we're going to strip back the pressure that we put on ourselves to be perfect in this specific way and just speak in like a free way and be fine with it. And I do think that changes absolutely everything and is so necessary. But I almost think it's hard then to translate that to like visual elements. Like, it's easy to not be a perfectionist, or it's not easy. It's easier to be not a perfectionist with audio. Mm-hmm. If I don't make the perfect point, that's fine. But if I don't have the perfect photo, it will haunt me forever. It's like, this needs to be perfect. This visually needs to be great.
Right.
I think there's a different pressure put on like the visuals, especially the visuals of women.
Yeah.
That it's like, if there's one thing you don't like in a photo, the photo is not going to be posted. But there's one thing you don't like in a podcast, it's fine.
How has your relationship changed to that, like visually?
I don't know. Can I ask you something?
It changes every day, right?
Yeah.
It changes every day. Yeah?
Changes. Yeah, constantly.
Is that the answer?
Yeah. What about you?
Same. Changes every day.
But like, what's your relationship with like personal branding and like personal how you present to the world?
With you editing these podcasts, I feel like I let go right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I have no control on how I'm I could be saying Causeville sucks in every episode.
I edit her up so she sounds like a fucking twat every episode.
Chop me up. I just think like just letting go,
yeah,
of that. You've just got no control there. And I trust you, obviously, but like it's a good thing, I think, because it stops you just, I don't know, you've just got no control over it. And it's kind of, yeah, like if there's something slightly not how I would have done it, then great, because I kind of, it's just a perfect, it's kind of the most meaningless do you know what I mean? Like, it's a meaningless, like, challenge. It's like, oh, you can be heard how everyone else is probably going to hear you anyway. Like, no one else is going to hear the difference anyway. It's only you
totally.
That is holding you to that kind of standard.
Yeah.
No one else would know. So just being forced to live through that, I think, is good. Mm. But just in general, I think it does change every day in terms of how you feel about, how I feel about how I am expressing myself. But I do feel it's hard as well, because I know we struggle on the podcast to, when you say something, when you answer a question, that becomes your answer. So that becomes how...
It becomes definitive.
That is how Wing feels about identity. That is how Wing yeah. feels about personal branding. Oh, she's never connected with personal branding. Great. Oh, that's... She's just never connected with that. And that's the story. And I think, in a, like, even though part of it is letting go by doing this, because you just have to accept that whatever's out there is out there or whatever, it also makes you, yeah, like, aware of yourself in a different way. And I think everyone has that. You just are aware of yourself in a crazy way because you think, because it's the story that you're telling everybody.
Yeah.
And that is, people just believe, they'll fill in the blanks with whatever's going on in their story.
Completely. There was a reel that we made, and it was a clip of me talking, and it was like, it's on our Instagram somewhere, but it was like, I think the most damaging things we do is get attached to the story of me, the story of my life, or something.
That's
like that.
Exactly what you say. You go, the story of me, the story of my life,
of me, my life. And do you know what, I agree with past me.
Yeah, I agree with you always,
because I do think one of the most damaging things we do is get attached to the story of me, the story of my life, because it's like the idea of personal narratives. And I think that also translates to your personal aesthetic, like, okay, so I identify identify as like carefree, and that might translate into a bit of like a bohemian aesthetic, and that might translate into like, oh, I want to live on a boat, for example, or like whatever. It translates into things start, like, once the ball starts rolling on like how you want other people to see you, before you know it, you're dressing like it, you've got your hair cut like it, you blah blah blah. It's like,
but are we just too fragile?
Yes,
or probably. Like too maybe dynamic then, but even just the good old tales of likes and dislikes, it's like even that I have a problem with, and that's probably, is that normal?
Like, you have a problem with people saying I don't like this?
No, not people, me. Everyone else can do what they want, but someone said like, oh, what are your likes and dislikes, what are your interests?
You've been playing Sims 2.
I find even that hard, because I don't want them to believe what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like I don't want them to believe. I don't want them to take my word for it. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't fuck it. Who am I to say what I like and dislike? I don't fucking know. I haven't done half my shit yet. Like, and also I change my mind all the time. And maybe that's just so pretentious. It's like, just say what you were interested in and go. Like,
no, I don't think it is at all.
Just say your favorite color and go. Like, it's not a big deal. Maybe it's not. But I don't know. I do think generally most humans are much more dynamic than like that static narrative of likes and dislikes allows for, and just the general construct of then social media added to that, making everyone's likes and dislikes quote unquote pretty plain to see for everyone else to try and pick through and decipher as they like. I guess if you're self-conscious or self-aware, whichever, like me, then that is even a problem.
Completely, I completely relate to that, because I think that is something that you're trained to do from early childhood. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite animal? What's your favorite fucking song, even when like you're a teenager? What's your favorite t-shirt? What's your favorite band? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just all of it. It's like, what's your favorite, and then that starts translating into one of our most hated things that we always talk about. You've got attached to, I'm a morning person, I'm an extrovert, I'm an introvert, I'm a people pleaser, I'm a all of these things. It's like, you're actually really limiting yourself with these, like, I guess it's my issue with labels once again. Which they are so useful.
Well, I also think labels are fine.
They're the best.
It's when they're harmful. Like, if being a morning person only benefits you and gets you out of bed and starts your day off great, and you end up having like these amazing times because like you slowly learn that you were a quote unquote morning person, then that's great. And even like extrovert and whatever. But if it's something like, I just really struggle with public transport, and then all of a sudden you haven't left your town in 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you absolutely do struggle with public transport, but you also could have a version of you out there that exists that doesn't struggle with public transport, but will never know, because we just can't slightly push you out of that self-limiting belief box that you've learned. Yeah.
And that brings us right back to what the lovely individual at the beginning wrote in, saying like, it's about being inflexible, because I think, yeah, sure, be a morning person. Even if that helps you and that benefits you, have a lie in though.
Or if it just means nothing to you.
I do think there's an idea of, you can identify as an introvert but have the awareness that in certain situations that will shift, and you will be showing extroverted behaviors, and that is just what it means to be human, that you are flexible, you are ever changing, you are moving. It doesn't mean that you're like, okay, so I was born an INFP and I'm an INFP till I die, my love language is gifts, and I'm a Capricorn, that's it. No fucking questions asked, and I will always rise before 6 a.m. and go to bed before fucking 10 p.m.
Yeah.
No, like, what is that as a life? What is that?
Yeah.
And I'm a cat person. Fuck dogs. I'm a fucking cat person. I know this is an extreme example, but it's like, that is an example of like quite an annoying person, I would say. I would be surprised at the amount of people that I've spoken to that just like, for example, like just someone I spoke to recently, I'm going to change what they said, but they were like, I just hate pizza. I've always hated pizza. I'm never eating pizza. I hate pizza. I hate it. I've never liked pizza. And it's like, what is that?
What happened here?
What is that? I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like, what? Like, you're saying something to me that you've clearly been saying. You've practiced saying this now for like over 10 years. Clearly, this is like a thing for you. But it's like, you do realize like, you're the only person holding you to that standard. There's no one here telling you, like, if you ate pizza tomorrow, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, the only person telling you that you do not like pizza, you hate pizza, is you. But if you tried it and you like it, your narrative of yourself would be shifted.
Yeah.
And that is a bit of an issue.
I even think, like, it's true. What did you say? The worst things, our biggest detriment as humans is the story we tell ourselves, the story of us, the story of my life.
The story of me, the story of my life.
My life. But kind of One Direction. Maybe narratives and labels and all of these things are fine, but typically it's not even typically, the problem is, the crux, is when the narrative that you're telling yourself is, I can't wear that because she just would always, like, I wish I could wear things like that. Like, fuck, like, I'll never be able to wear that. Like, she just can do that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I could never do something like that. Oh my God. Could you imagine if I did something like that? Could you imagine it? Could you imagine it? It's like, just, what? Who are you asking permission from? You can do it.
I don't like dancing. I don't take selfies. I don't really like myself taking selfies. I don't really like photos of myself. It's like, what is this?
Any limiting thing. You're free. You don't need permission for someone to say, no, you would look good in that. Or no, I can imagine you doing that. Or no, you should take a selfie because I think you would look really good. Like, no one's coming, Harry. There is no one here to give you permission but you. So like, if you want to post a ridiculous thing on your Instagram, post it. If you want to start making TikToks, do it. Like, if you want to leave social media, do it. Like, if you want to start wearing something you've never identified with before, you can do it. Because before you know it, you're not going to have the option to do that. I hate to make it somber, but you're going to be
dead.
You're going to be dead.
Yeah. But to me, that's a happy note.
Like, and me too. It's, like, yeah. It's, all of us.
The fact that that is seen as a sad thing is the flaw in the narrative of me, the narrative of my life, the story of me, whatever. Because
The flaw of humans. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's sad that that is seen as a sad thing because it's like, well, obviously death is fucked. But it's literally like the only thing that's guaranteed at the end of this life, your life can play out in a million different ways. The only thing that's guaranteed is that you will die at the end of it. That's not, I don't think that's me bringing the tone down. That's true. I'm sorry.
No, it's true.
So it's like you have to find a way to navigate this in the small amount of time that you have, that you can live your life as freely as possible, freely the banana girl, as free and as loving and as like clear from all of the shit that you've been taught as possible.
Yeah.
And that is not an easy task.
Yeah.
But as soon as we start going like, oh, I just hate bananas, I just fucking hate bananas, it's like, when was the last time you tried a banana? Was it in fucking 2002? Because it sounds like it. Sounds like something you're saying. Mm-hmm. Sounds like just something you've learned to say. Or like, I hate pantomimes. Oh, I just fucking hate pantomimes. Oh, they're so cringe. I hate pantomimes. It's like, why don't you just go to fucking pantomime? Seriously?
Sounds like you kind of want to be in a pantomime, actually.
Yeah, maybe you need to be a pantomime star. I think you do.
But that's the thing as well with saying like, look, your life is going to end one day, is not to say like, well, you need to go full steam ahead and blah, blah, blah. The problem is you're already living with so much pressure on yourself now anyway. So what we can do is take that pressure off, live in a little bit of peace, and then just go at your own pace. It doesn't mean like, oh my God, you're running out of time, scramble, like shit, you're not doing enough, you're not there, you're like, you're not going to make it, you're not doing anything, blah, 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 blah. It's actually just relax. Just relax. Can we just take a second? Can we just relax?
Yeah, today.
Just right now?
Right now. Pressure off. Roll those shoulders back, guys.
Whoa.
Unclench that jaw.
Literally drop that tongue from the roof of your mouth.
Oh, right, okay. Let's get comfy. Let's get comfy in this space. Let's get comfy in our days. Is your ponytail a bit tight right now? Take it out.
Drop? To be honest, maybe take your clothes off.
Let's get naked, guys. Me and Wing are doing it right now. Take it off. Honestly, is your bra a bit uncomfy? Are your jeans a bit tight? Fuck this.
Just take the second.
What does your day look like? Have you got something at 3 that honestly could just be cancelled?
I can't be bothered to do that thing at 3. Can you be bothered to do that thing at 3?
I can't. I, for one, cannot be bothered.
I'm fucking canceling. I'm not doing it.
Cancel that meeting. Can't be arsed.
Are we done here?
Take the pressure right off. Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
I mean, I don't know what this episode has been.
Me neither. I think I've said a lot of things I don't believe in. I think I've been lying.
I mean, I guess it's kind of the point. Yeah. Sometimes we get into the... It's a habit. You have to slowly break the habit of performing what it is to have a podcast.
Totally.
And like just imitating the last carousel you saw on Instagram and the last TikTok you watched on your phone and like the last podcast that you listened to that wasn't ours. It's just hard to get out of that cycle sometimes. But I hope you enjoyed this anyhow.
Same. Do you know what I don't agree with that I said? Just quickly.
Yeah, just fine. Clear it up now. Yeah, yeah.
Just going to clear the air. Just going to clear the shit.
Just clear that up.
I don't agree with that I'm trying to get back to a child version of myself.
No, it's fine. Also, I didn't mean like, I hope it didn't sound like I was saying, no, that's a silly point. Because I do get what you're saying. It's just hard to like articulate, you know?
Yeah, it is. No, it's all good,
No, you're right though. You are trying to get back. You're trying to unlearn.
Trying to get... I'm trying to unlearn, but not in a deep way. I think bringing up two episodes in a row makes it sound like I'm on a mission to like...
No, it's not deep. It's not deep. Everything here is taken with a pinch of salt.
Honestly, take it with a spoonful of salt. Maybe some sugar as well. A spoonful of sugar helps medicine go down. Is that something?
Nice. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to get that down. Okay, shall we?
Let's go.
If you don't hear from us, assume the worst.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.